And now we have an interesting discussion coming your way. We're joined on the line by our two guests. We have Iqbal Jassat, who is an acclaimed writer, analyst and commentator, one of the founding members of MRN. His analysis is featured regularly in the mainstream media as well as in alternate media outlets around the world. Welcome him to the program. Uncle Iqbal, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, Mr. Yusuf. Thanks for having me.
Jazakum khair. We really appreciate you taking out the time to join us. We also have with us on the line Aisha J. Soni. He's a medical doctor qualified from the University of Witwatersrand. She's also the vice chairperson of the Media Review Network, the MRN. Her passion is in combating injustice globally and her particular focus on challenging the growing trend of Islamophobia. She joins us on the line and we welcome her to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Aisha.
Wa alaikum salam and jazakallah for having me.
We really appreciate you taking out the time to chat to us. Uncle Iqbal, let's start with the big news that SA will arrest Israeli leaders if they enter the country. Great news. Tell us more about this.
Alhamdulillah, this is excellent news. As you may have realized, you know, it's doing the circle around the world now. It's become a dominant news story. It certainly is a historic day, not only for civil society in this country, but I think the kind of hope that it gives Palestinians who are subject to the levels of oppression that is unprecedented in terms of the extent of that level of oppression and the time frame for that. You remember that the Mavi Marmara was transporting humanitarian aid in 2010, and when it was attacked and a number of people were killed, amongst them one of the survivors was the South African journalist Khadija Davids, and it was primarily her initiative that led us, together with the Muslim Lawyers Association, to institute formal charges against the 9 commanders of the Israeli military, intelligence and navy. And of course, alhamdulillah, 5 years later, we have this wonderful result where if the processes are followed strictly according to law, these 4 generals face arrest once the red alert is issued on Interpol. So I think it's a historic occasion, something that we need to celebrate in this country as far as civil society goes, and the ability to be able to bring to justice and hold to account monstrous regimes such as the Israeli regime.
I should give us some background to the hospital attack in Hebron by Israel.
Okay, so just to summarize basically what happened very quickly, last week Thursday at about 3 o'clock in the morning, 20 to 30 armed men entered the Al Ahli Hospital, which is in Hebron, and they entered the hospital under false pretenses, going in with a lady who wasn't pregnant, but they pretended they were, and immediately as they entered the hospital, took out their firearms, threatened hospital staff, and went to the surgical ward where they were looking for a Palestinian, Azam Shalalde. They immediately tied his brother to a bed, as his cousin was coming out of the bathroom after he had just made ablution, they shot him in the head and chest, which instantly killed him, and then they took Azam away. He was still being treated in the hospital. So basically, it was just a reiteration of what Uncle Iqbal was talking about, the monstrous atrocities that Israel regime commonly carries out on a daily basis, where they went into a hospital, took one of the patients prisoner, and killed another one of his cousins in cold blood, which is what Amnesty International has termed an extrajudicial killing.
Yes, absolutely horrendous. Uncle Iqbal, back to you. More wars, more a failure in your peace title with the Paris attack has given France the license to attack Muslim lands without being held accountable. Is that what it's all about?
Well, indeed, you know, it's a matter that is absent in media debates, Mr. Yusuf. You may have picked this up as well.
Yes.
That primarily, you know, the exclusive focus seems to be on the victims of this current carnage that occurred in Paris. Again, selective outrage, selective, sympathies, selective in many different ways, whereby the context largely seems to be missing. And of course, the piece that I've written tries to present the alternate perspective, which is fortunately underscored by many alternate voices within media and of course within think tanks in other parts of the world, who are able to say that you cannot de-link what has occurred in France, from the atrocities that have been committed and are currently being committed by the French, by the British, by the Americans in the wars of destruction that lead to invasions and occupation in the Muslim world, primarily across North Africa and the Middle East. So this is, in essence, is what I'm saying, that expect an unleashing, and of course it happened already, as we speak, bombers are flying over territories within Syria and Iraq that they claim belong to ISIS held, and people are dying. And that expect not to be recorded or told. So I think it's important that we recognize this continuum in the way they would want to suggest that what has to do with ISIS is largely ideological, that there aren't any political grievances that Muslims would have, or any other occupied people, whether it's in the Central African Republic, whether it's in Mali, where the French have a footprint. Remember that they're involved militarily across many regions in Africa, including the Middle East.
Yes, that is the important background that we need to keep in front of us all the time. Aisha, in terms of, you know, the role of MRN, why is it important that media advocacy groups like MRN keep an eye open on events like Paris attacks, and why is there a thin line between news, facts and conspiracy theories?
I think it's very important for MRN to play this role. As Uncle Ibarra iterated, there's a lot of mainstream media is very focused on only illustrating one kind of story, and it's very easy for many people in the world just to jump onto that bandwagon and not really think out of the box, think where is this coming from. I mean, people don't just go into a theater and open fire. There must be a reason behind that. In Palestine today, people don't just start stabbing Israelis. It's because of the lifelong occupation that has been instilled upon them on their everyday lives. And so for Media Review Network, it's important for us to keep our facts straight, and also to make sure that whenever something like this happens, we look at it in the broader context of the global picture, and therefore offer people an alternative way of thinking. Why is this happening? Not, it just has happened, let's provide a reaction, and rather look at the thinking behind it.
Yes, these are the important perspectives that those that perhaps only follow mainstream media do not get. Now, Akhribra, why is there a difference in how Western tragedies like Paris attacks are reported with such emotion, whereas Muslim war conflict zones and indeed the Middle East region don't receive as much emotional attachment from the media? Is there a clear anti-Muslim bias?
I think there are a number of factors, Mr. Yusuf. I think primarily one could look at racist overtones. Clearly, these have come out very, very, very clearly. You would find that, you know, in the way media reports the French attack, it's primarily centered around what they would call white like us. In other words, we are the victims. We are French, we are white, and those that have perpetrated what they believe to be acts of terror on the other side. So I think there are, in addition to this, for the Western media to hold on to the story without the kind of context and substance that is essential in order to understand why people behave in certain ways, and that for every action there has to be a reaction. I think it's very clear that amongst the few people whom we believe are important enough to be acknowledged, primarily within France currently, who are able to say that you cannot de-link this even from the occupation of Palestine, and you have to re-strategize your priorities, moving away from military options where bombs would be killing people, you know, indiscriminately without the kind of media coverage that this carnage has attracted, and that those should be replaced by alternate means such as politics and diplomacy. And I think those are the narratives that is part of the responsibility that we have within MRN to be able to advocate those situations, as Aisha pointed out, in a very rational, professional and factual basis.
Aisha, you know, coming back to the issue of attacking in a hospital, why is attacking a hospital a line of sanctity that should never be crossed, and why should Israel be taken to task?
So attacking a hospital by any moral grounds is completely wrong, but This is a fact that seems to evade Israel and its allies, the NATO forces and the U.S. If you remember last month, the U.S. bombed the Kunduz hospital in Afghanistan. This is an MSF hospital, and they killed hospital staff as well as patients, repeatedly bombing it despite knowing the location. And even this attack in Palestine, this is not the first time that Israel has entered a hospital. They've done it numerous occasions. Just 2 weeks ago, it was in East Jerusalem, and they've even entered Red Cross hospitals. So this is something that is, and like, we cannot fathom how someone can even go to a hospital. But coming back to why it's wrong for Israel specifically, there are two aspects that we need to look at. The first is that legally, attacking a hospital is an offense according to the Geneva Conventions of 1949, and Israel is a signatory to this, yet they still break this international law continuously. Secondly, attacking hospitals is a way to further intimidate the population living under occupation. Basically, what Israel is telling them is that you have no place of asylum, no place of refuge, and we will continue to devastate every single aspect of your life. And so this is why this is a line that should never be crossed in any warfare. Every war should have lines, and especially when Israel claims to be the most moral army of the world, they should not be crossing this line at all.
Absolutely, yes. Well, your closing comments?
Well, I think, you know, what's important for us to understand is that, you know, firstly, because this is attributed to ISIS, it seems that it has aroused the kind of reaction which we were not entirely satisfied with from Muslim communities across the world, and that is going into an apologetic stance, you know, basically, you know, admitting some kind of defeat and expressing that kind of sorrow with regards to, you know, people they believe are demented and that they are, in fact, legitimate targets, therefore, for indiscriminate extrajudicial killings, which is what these bombing campaigns are about in any event. I think what's important for us, Mufti Yusuf, is that until the West begins to understand the calamities that Muslims have undergone, you know, you can go back to the last century, talk about the 48 dispossession of Palestine. That remains unresolved. You can come back to this century, look at the invasion and occupation of Iraq and what it led to in 2013. So what we are seeing now is a blowback. It doesn't necessarily mean that those that have perpetrated these actions, that it is done in this vengeful way, which the West would believe to be mindless, you know, driven by a fanatical ideology. And I think this is crucial for us to understand. If we are able to turn the arguments back and say to the West that your militaristic policies are incoherent, to what extent are you able to acknowledge, by virtue of the revelation that are beginning to come out, especially the declassified military intelligence documents, Mr. Yusuf, that we are now able to access, which clearly talks about your role in forming rebel movements, arming them, giving them logistical support and unlimited arms for particular nefarious activities. It led to the destruction of a very prosperous country, Libya. It led to the gruesome death of Muammar Gaddafi. No matter what his track record may have been, it means that North Africa, a very fundamental pillar of the North African region across Western Asia, in addition to those countries that I've mentioned, are subject to these kinds of militaristic adventures for nefarious goals, for goals that certainly cannot in any way conform to what their belief is in pursuit of democracy. And I think those are the arguments that need to be debated in a very rational way that reasserts the reasserts the view that if you attack, expect resistance.
Yes, these are important points, and we need to continuously highlight these points. We appreciate your time, Uncle Iqbal. Jazakumullah khair for your time on Radio Islam.
Shukran jazeelan. It's wonderful talking to you, Mr. Yusuf, as always.
We always appreciate you taking all the time to chat to us. Jazakallah, assalamu alaikum. Aisha, also fascinating piece that you've written, great work that you're doing. Jazakumullah khair for sharing your insight and your thoughts with us.
Jazakallah for having me.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, those are the two guests from the Media Review Network chatting to us about the various issues coming up. One is the attack on the hospital, and the other one is the issue of how we should be responding and making the West realize that what has transpired is as a result of their own policies.